have Shuja Graham up here with us. He's from the state of Maryland. Shuja is a former death row prisoner who spent 12 years behind bars in the state of California before being exonerated. He was part of the black prison movement in the 1970s in San Quentin, and he's been an outspoken activist around the country and around the world, speaking out against the death penalty. He's a member of the campaign to end the death penalty. Shuja.
My friends who are here tonight, members of the community, members of our society, thank you all very much for the kindness of my heart for inviting me here. Over the last 20 years of my life, since I've been out, I've had the opportunity to travel this country, to see peoples speak and communicate and tell my story as a young man growing up in America. When I speak, sometimes I never know where to begin, because it seemed like my life has had a never ending of beginnings. After I come out of one critical situation, it always seemed that I'm facing another. Even tonight, this is the most difficult time for me, because I'm forced to stand, and I know I'm going to have to stand alone. But somewhere in my heart, I feel a unified, collective stand. So tonight, my friends, here I stand, wounded by the blows of racism and capital punishment in America. But I don't feel alone. And I stand tonight because I refuse to believe that America is so tragically bound to the realities of racism, wars, and capital punishment that we can't see the bright day of life without racism, life without capital punishment. So I stand today to be with you. I remember one of the favorite quotes when I made my connection. I remember John Donnan once said that no man, I like to say no human being, is an island entirely of itself. Every human being is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any human being's death diminished me because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never sin to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. So I stand with you to tell you all tonight from my experience, capital punishment do not help, it don't work, and we can live without it. I was born and raised in a little small town called Lake Providence, Louisiana. I grew up under racism, segregation, tyranny. I can remember when I couldn't walk as a young boy through that front door. I had to enter the back door. But as I always tell people, it wasn't segregation itself that bothered me and it affected me. As a young black man, it was how we were segregated. We were segregated to the worst of all things in that particular society. And at the age of 10, after leaving Lake Providence, Louisiana, and coming to South Central Los Angeles, a big populated area, it was a total culture shock for me. And me coming from under racism and living in a society where people weren't encouraged to rebel against racism and stand up, I came to Los Angeles, and there my life began as what some call a rebellious man, fighting to get from under intolerable oppression, racism, exploitation, and police brutality. As a young man growing up in South Central, I've experienced many difficult days, and at 55 years old, I can think of in 1965, at the age of 14, living under martial law, similar to what you see in Palestine, the Palestinians throwing rocks and bricks at the guards and those who were trying to suppress them. That's how we were. We couldn't come out at night. But what did all that represent to me as a young man? I didn't really know. I was basically confused. But it was a group that gave me inspiration and determination to see a better world and a better life. And it was the Black Panther Party that I grew up under, their influence, and many of the ideas and the concept of that organization influenced me to look at life in a different way. I went to jail for my last time at the age of 19. When I left, many of my brothers and sisters was in diapers. And when I returned, they was all old. That part of their life, I cannot ever bring back. But I've learned in life, you have to go on. And the only way to go on is to believe in a better tomorrow. But during my years in prison, I became a young man at an early age in terms of an old man at a young age, rather in terms of hard times and difficult days. I remember when I first went into prison, I couldn't read or write. And I remember the people that most of you despise and hate because of how society have painted them. They are the ones who gave me my deepest form of humanity. Many of them couldn't do what they taught me to do, but they knew right from wrong because the institution had distorted their personalities and destroyed them personally. But they still had a sense of humanity to tell the younger peoples right from wrong. And so I was raised by them to come up and be a strong person, to stand up against racism, to stand up against police brutality, that we can change the prison institution, that we can have an effect on society and once we return. So I began to organize and be a part of that particular movement. And as being a part of that movement, I became a target of the state. I went to California death row where they didn't have a death penalty. California abolished their death penalty in 1972, because I was a young man that ascribed to socialist politics and considered myself a revolutionary activist that was willing to stand up and die against for the right to stand up to die if I had to against the forces of racism and brutality. And I was one of those who was willing to take that chance. And as I began to organize, I became deeper targeted by the state. And then in November 1973, after being in prison for 5 years, one of the most tragic days of my life, I remember being beaten. A guard was killed and assaulted. Myself and Eugene Allen, I was 20, he was 19. We was beaten and interrogated night after night. That's why tonight I can identify with those who are suffering in prison. I can identify with those who are suffering, the Iraqi peoples in the prison of Guantanamo Bay all the way to Iraq, because I understand the torture that they have been through. I live in America, and can no one tell me that I haven't faced torture? I've been beaten. I've been interrogated for nights after night and beaten down to the point that I start believing what the state was telling me. I never got sleep. I think I would go to sleep and there was the guards, the lights on me, taking me out time and time again and beating me and telling my co-defender have turned against me. And I was very confused. But it's one thing that I wasn't confused about, and that was my commitment to our movement and those who had sacrificed their lives to standing up against racism, capitalism, exploitation, and the destruction of prisons. So today, I continue to stand, and that's what keeps me going. I went to California death row for 4 years. I was convicted after two trials in 1976, and I went up there And it was a new experience, but of the same nature. As a young man, the destination of my destruction has always been right around the corner, but being subjected to capital punishment and standing up there and hearing the judge say, on December the 8th, we would execute you and gas will penetrate upon your personhood and to your last breath. And then they ask you immediately, do you have anything else to say? What can a young man say? That's what I was thinking. But I thought about all the prisoners who have died, all the Panthers, all the peoples in our movement, in our society, not just in America, but all the peoples in the world who have stood up against racism, the oppression. I thought about them, and I got a sense of courage. And I stood up, and I told them, I'm an innocent person. Sorry for what happened that particular day. But as a human being, as I stand here today, I have no regrets about my participation in our movement. That movement was our life, and it was a movement that brought out the best in us all. And after spending 4 years on California death row, I can remember how our case was overturned. It was about racism. When I was going to trial, I wasn't able to have peoples of color or African Americans on our jury because of the racism in our case, and that's why the campaign to end the death penalty to talk about racism and how it discriminates against the poor. I'm here to testify against that because I am a victim of that. It was based on the fact that many jurors, what made it easy for the Supreme Court, that would have been ordinarily great jurors for the prosecutor because a lot of them parents was associated with law enforcement and so forth and judges, and because of the fact that they was African American and the racism that was happening in our trial, they systematically excluded all of them. And then once the Supreme Court read these, read our case and our arguments, they immediately overturned our case without even considering our other arguments. And I went back to court, had another 2 more trials, and you would think my third trial that the DA would make sure that it was African Americans on the jury. But to make a long story short, my third trial ended in a hung jury, and there was no African Americans. To make another long story short, my fourth trial, which I was acquitted, there was no African Americans, but I was acquitted. And that gives me the reason, before I close, to believe that peoples can change, that peoples can be honest and objective, and that we all can make and create a better world if we open up our hearts. I've experienced probably most, so much that you all together will never experience in your lifetime. And I don't mean to say this as I'm superhuman, but as a man at my age can forgive those people who have beaten me down, we can learn to overcome racism. We can overcome our inhumanity to each other. We can create a better world. And I leave you with the words that Martin Luther King, that gave me great strength and inspiration when I was down. I didn't know if I was going to be able to continue on. But I remember his words that he said, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in one single garment of destiny. What affects one directly affects us all indirectly. No one is independent. We all interdependent. The sooner we learn that and accept that, we'll be better off as a nation of peoples. My friends, as I close, my life has been a life of resistance and rebellion. As I say, no matter how I've suffered, don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for those who are still suffering behind the walls of prison and tyranny. I've had a great life, and my life has been great because I've had one to support. People like yourself. It was young people who took up my cause and made the difference It was 13 people who formed a committee and fought for Eugene Allen and Suja Graham. And eventually, it became a reality. Thank you all, people from Massachusetts, for having my old ass here. And I'm sorry that I get real emotional about things. I have a lot of anger, but I'm going to exert it, I can promise you, in a positive way. I'm going to exert that anger so that we can be a better people and a better civilization. And when future historians write, they will say Massachusetts is better off because of people like yourself. Thank you.